Morning. Today's daf is Yudalid in Bechoros. We're back on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we're discussing Kinyanim. Mishnah Kedushin we already went through says that if you want to purchase metalkalin, movable items, so you have to do Mashiach, you have to pull on the item and bring it close to you, even though you pay for the item. Even though you don't pay for the item, either is pretty regardless. The way to affect a Kinyan is through Mashiach. There's also Hagbah, there's also Mesira, but just to keep the discussion nice, simple, we're gonna talk about Mashiach. Good. That's the Mishnah in Kiddushin. Now, does the money have any effect whatsoever? Min HaTorah, so that's subject to a debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says, V'artorah maros konos. Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that Min HaTorah, the money is going to be purchasing, and Mashiach is just a rabbinic legislation. I explained yesterday the purpose of the rabbis made such legislation is to protect the buyer. Just to quickly review, it's just basic ideas of Torah. Everyone should basically be familiar, because if the money wasn't one that acquired and you purchased something with money but you didn't do Mashiach, so then the seller is going to have no interest in protecting your goods. Anything happens to the goods, they'll say, not my goods, they were sold. And so just to make sure that we have a layer of protection for the buyer, so the Chachamim said, you know what, the sale is not going to be a valid sale until Mashiach, until the buyer actually pulls the item into his reshus, into his domain. Good. That's the basic. Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish says that Mashiach works even on a Daraisa level, not only on a Darabanan level, so everything I just explained would not be true according to Reish Lakish. At least that's how it would seem. Our discussion in the Gemara, we started yesterday the second parak of Bechoros, and we talked about the Mishnah over here introduces the topic of Behema Tahora, kosher animals, Bechor Behema Tahora. And although the Mishnah is important in terms of laying down the groundwork, but really the Gemara used it as an opportunity to discuss how do you acquire from a non-Jew. Okay, so it's a little bit of a tangent, and the Gemara spent the entire daf, meaning Yud Gimel Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, starting with the Gemara, discussing how do you acquire from a non-Jew. And so how do you acquire from a non-Jew? So, subject to a debate. We quoted Rav Oshia on Amud Aleph. Rav Oshia says, Yisrael shenas an malos ovikochavim bebehemto bedinehem afa pishla mashach kana vechayeves bebechora ovikochavim shenas an malos Yisrael bebehemto bedinehem afa pishla mashach kana upata benebechora. So Rav Oshia said, Money is the operative way to create a kinyan between Jew and non-Jew. That is the opinion of Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia therefore says, basically there are going to be two sets of kinyanim. One between Jew and Jew, that's through Mashiach, and one between Jew and non-Jew, and that's with Ma'os. Okay, does Rav Oshia agree with Reish Lakish? Does Rav Oshia agree with Rav Yochanan? That was part of yesterday's daf. Go back over and look again at yesterday's daf. We had a divergent opinion, and that is sorry, there was a divergent opinion. Yeah, Amemar, thank you. Amemar says Mashiach. Sorry, I'm a little bit lost. Where is it?
Second line.
Oh, Amemar Dama Mashiach, thank you. Good. So Amemar disagrees with Rav Oshia. Amemar says that it is done through Mashiach. Okay? So basic machlokas now between Amoraim. How does an acquisition, how do you acquire with a non-Jew? Okay, so Rav Oshia's position, which is the accepted position, is that's money. Maos or konos. Good? So now for the rest of the daf, we didn't finish the daf yesterday. We're going to do so right now. For the remaining part of the daf, we're going to ask one simple question based on a braisa from Avodah Zarah, and we're going to give 1, 2, 3, 4 answers, and that'll finish Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And then, of course, we start with today's daf Yudalad. Straightforward question, Meisve, and it's based on a braisa. Alkech gruta os mina ove kochavim. Okay, you go to a metalsmith, metal yard, and you buy pieces of metal, silver. Rashi describes it as being silver. And what you were expecting to buy were just chunks of silver, nothing more than that. And you'll do with it with what you want to do with it. But your intent in terms of a sale is to buy silver. Now remember, this is so important. In any type of transaction, right, true in American law, true in halacha, in any type of transaction, there has to be an agreement of mind between buyer and seller. Meaning seller has to understand that this is what's being sold, and buyer has to understand this is what is being purchased. Okay. And there has to be clear communication. And if there isn't clear communication between buyer and seller, so in halacha we call that a mekach tos. Okay, and the sale is going to be null and void. Money will go back, be returned, and the sale is just simply voided. So here we have a scenario where basically it's going to be a mekach tos, where the buyer is just interested in buying scraps of metal, scraps of silver, and the seller sells it, and it turns out that there are little idols, silver idols, that I guess its owner kind of lost interest in and scrapped it. But it's a avodah zarah, but it's idolatry. Now,
isn't it nullified when they throw it away?
The answer, the simple answer is yes. Idolatry owned by a Jew cannot be nullified.
Right.
Never can be nullified. It is true that a non-Jew can be mevatel avodah zarah. It's true. So how... could be, yeah. I mean, the case over here is going to be clearly where it was not mevutal, where it wasn't nullified.
Okay? Either owned by a Jew or the non-Jew.
Perhaps. No, the case is where you bought it from a non-Jew, as will be clear. So we're going to have to somehow subscribe to the idea. It's a good point, Aaron. We're going to have to somehow subscribe to the idea that it wasn't nullified. Okay? So, umatz ben avodos kochavim. Now, listen carefully, because the Braisa now is going to lay down. Does he own the Avodah Zarah, or does he not own the Avodah Zarah? So, imat shelo nasa maos mashach yachzir. If he didn't pay for it, and he was moshech, so he pulled it. Okay, classic way of kinyan, but remember though, the seller is a non-Jew. He did meshicha, yachzir, he can give it back, because he didn't pay for it. And then, imat shelo nasa maos mashach, but if he paid for it and he did meshicha, yolechana liyam ha-melech. Now it's too late, he's stuck with it. And now that he's stuck with it, it's his. What he's going to do, he's got Avodah Zarah in his hands. And he can't be mevatel it because he's now the proud owner of Avodah Zarah. Okay, so he's not so proud. But now he's the owner of Avodah Zarah, so what is he going to do with it? Yolech liyam ha-melech, throw it to the Dead Sea. There's nothing to do with it other than just simply pulverize it, and in this case, throw it to the Dead Sea, which is a tantamount to just simply destroying it. Good. And when I say good, of course, what I mean by that is not good. Because Rav Oshia says, what's the method of acquisition when it comes to when transaction between Jew and non-Jew? The method of acquisition is money. Simple money. So, Iyamart Maus Konos Meshicha Lamali. So, the Gemara says, here's what I'm confused by. Meaning, if Maus is the only mechanism of Kenyan, so why is the Bryce introducing the idea of Meshicha? So, right? Look. In other words, look at the second case of the Bryce. I Mishinasan Maus Mashach. If he gave money and he did Mashiach, so now he owns it.
Once he gave money, that's it.
Right. Shouldn't the money be enough? Right. Kenyan's done. And why is the Braisa confusing us by saying he paid money and he did Mashiach? Okay. And for Rav Oshia's standpoint, that's going to be a major issue. So the Gemara says, well, when they were doing the transaction, immediately prior to the transaction, they made an agreement. We're going to do this Dina Yisrael, by method of Yisrael. So, Yehachim Maus Lamale. So the Gemara says, okay. Again, when it comes to monetary law, you can make such stipulations. You can override.
No.
So you could do that. But the Gemara says, but then I'm also confused, because then what does money have to do with anything? Because Kinyanim by Jew to Jew is going to be through Mashiach and only through Mashiach. Okay. So, Hachikam Rafa Pisha Nasamos Imashach in V'ilolo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we'll understand the Braisa like this. Maybe what the Braisa means is that even though he paid for it, everything will be contingent on Mashiach. Okay. Good pshat? No, not such a good pshat. No. Because Ihachi Kashareisha. Because there are two parts of this Braisa. The first part of the Braisa reads, Aimsha Achalo Nasan Maos Mashach Yachzir. If they agreed prior to the transaction, we're gonna subscribe to Dina Yisrael. Meaning, even though you're a Jew and I'm a non-Jew, but we'll follow Dina Yisrael. If that's true, if that was their agreement, so then Mashiach is everything. Mashiach is everything. So then what is... And in the Reisha, in the first part of the Braisa, it says you did Mashiach and you can give it back. No, you can't. And not if you subscribe to Dina Yisrael. Okay. So we have now set up the problem. The problem is very clear. We're the Brisa is discussing a transaction between Jew and non-Jew. And the Brisa somehow is involving Mashiach in the whole discussion. And from Rav Oshia's standpoint, Mashiach should not have even been uttered. The word Mashiach, right, the word Mashiach should not have been there according to Rav Oshia. Should have been money and only money as the mechanism of a transaction.
Only
Mashiach. Well, yeah, but not, but Rav.
If you do the Dinim of Jews.
Right, if you agree to Dinim Yisrael, the Mashiach. Okay. So, as I mentioned, one, two, three, four answers to this question. We'll start off with Abaye. Amar Abaye Reisha, Mishim Dika Mekachtos. So Abaye says, well, in the Reisha there's a Mekachtos. Now, don't think it through yet. Just stay with the Reisha. Makes sense. Meaning, you're interested in buying scraps of silver. You did buy scraps of silver, but then you look at the product in which you purchased. Right? And you're looking at it and you're like, oh, this is not scraps of silver. This is little idols. I didn't want that. And so that's a classic case of Mekachtos. And so what the Reish is teaching us is that even though you did Mashiach and even though you acquired it, but you got to return it because that wasn't what you were interested in buying, Mekachtos, the sale is voided. So Amalei Rava, so Rava says, now let's think it through. Amalei Rava, Reish Mishum Dika Mekachtos, Seif Aleka Mekachtos? I don't understand. So that's true in the Reisha, it's also true in the Seifa. Meaning in both cases of the Braisa, you were simply not interested in buying a Avodah Zarah. You only wanted scraps of metal. So in the Seifa, it says, and you paid, and now it's yours. I understand. Mekachtos will nullify any sale, even if what you did is correct. Even if the process of the sale is correct. But if it's Mekachtos, if what you purchased ended up not being what you thought it was supposed to be, what was not reported to you what it was going to be, that's considered a mekachtos. So in both cases of the Braisa, the conclusion should be, return it. And meanwhile, in the second case of the Braisa, you're stuck with it, and you got to destroy it.
But the thing is, if he returns it, and he gets his money back, right?
Right.
So that, in a way, he's benefiting from selling Avodah Zarah.
Well, no, in other words, he's returning again his money back, meaning he's just simply saying...
It's as though it is his... He's selling it back to the
right.
guy.
Mekachtos means it was never yours. Mekachtos means that you may have handled it, but it was never yours. You can nullify, Mekachtos can nullify a marriage. Meaning if she says something regarding her status, or you know there was a physical blemish that she didn't tell you about, and you got married, Mekachtos means you were never married. Mekachtos just totally erases whatever transaction may have happened. So, Abaye's answer, good, but only up to the, when you finish the ratio of that brisa. But once you get to the Seifa, you don't understand. If it's true it's a Mekachtos, so then why do you have to keep it? Okay, Elam Rava, ratio of a Seifa, Mekachtos. So Rava says, no, obviously, both cases of the brisa are Mekachtos. You weren't planning on buying idolatry. Meanwhile, you're looking at it, it's in your hand right now. They're both talking about Mekachtos. And now, what's left to discuss is only a perception issue. A perception issue. Meaning that in the Reisha, so you didn't give money, so it doesn't look like you own it. I mean, look, let's be honest, even if you gave money, you don't really own it, because that's not what you wanted to buy. It's still a Mekachtos. But in other words, in both cases, the sale's not real. But in the first case, you didn't even give money. So not only did you not buy it, didn't look like you even bought it. In the second case, however, Seifa, the Yahiv Zuzei, Mechzei Ka'ovad is Kochavim B'Yad Yisrael. But now that you actually paid money, it looks like you bought it. There's a perception issue involved.
And you're selling it back.
But... I'm going to go back to the same point. In reality, you didn't buy it, but from a perception standpoint, it looks like you bought it, and so therefore, now you have to go destroy it. But moreover than that, of course, you have to destroy it. Moreover than that, you lost out. Meaning, because there's a, we'll call it Mar Sinai. I'm not sure if that's a right term. Anytime there's a perception issue, I immediately just turn to Mar Sinai. But okay, whatever language you're comfortable with. But the point, Yeah, it's right. Chashad might be a better way to express it. It just looks bad. And so therefore, because it looks bad, so you're going to have to take the hit. You're going to lose the money. Okay. Now, it is interesting. Okay. Let's finish up, and then I'll make one additional point. And the Gemara says, and look, you're also a little bit at fault over here. Because not only did you do Mashiach, but you paid money. You paid money, and now you're taking the goods. You know what? You should have looked at it first. You should have examined what exactly you were buying. And because you didn't investigate and look at the matter, so therefore, we're going to, when I say we, I mean the Chachamim are going to penalize you. You're going to have to take the hit. You can't return it. And you're going to have to destroy it. Okay. Now, it's interesting because essentially what the Gemara is saying now, really what the Gemara is saying now is that, look, really it's a Mekachtos. Meaning, you went in there, you want the scraps of silver. You didn't want a Avodah Zarah. And you paid the money. And you did Mashiach. And because it's perceived, it looks like you actually bought it. So the Chachamim said, you know what? You're stuck with it, and you got to destroy it. Is that true by any other type of transaction where the buyer did not clearly, the seller did not clearly tell you what it, not clearly, the seller told you it was one thing, you went ahead and you bought it, and it turns out to be another thing. Do we say to the buyer, you know you should have investigated it? You know you should have checked it out? Meaning, this argument the Gemara now is presenting doesn't come up elsewhere. That's a very definition of Mekach Taos. Look at Tosvos. It's a one-liner. Two-liner. Second to last Tosvos on the page. Came the Ayv Zuzi, by Leluina, Vada Mamshech. Ve'afagav, Debishar Mekach Taos, Lo Amrin, and Hachi. We don't normally say this. We don't normally say, well, you should have inspected. You should have looked at it. No. If the seller is telling you what he's selling, and it turns out that that's not what it was, so you, the buyer, can now simply walk away and say, that's not what you told me it was going to be. That's not what we agreed to. And we never say to the buyer, you know, you should have looked at it. And over here we're saying that? So Tosu says, Shani lokech grutaus miyad de ove kochavim, di bai le lasuki aidaite tvei, shem yesh beham avodas kochavim. So Tosu says, yeah, but over here we say to the buyer, you should have been more careful in this particular case. Because look what you're doing. You're buying scraps of metal from an Ovei Kochavim. Now here, Ovei Kochavim, maybe we could mean a little more literal. Meaning, you know, you never know. It's always confusing. When we say Ovei Kochavim, are we just talking generically, non-Jew? Or we mean like a real idolater? From Tosfos, it sounds like, I may be right, probably. But we're talking about a real idolater. And you're buying scraps of metal, so then, yeah, we're going to put a little more onus on the buyer. And even though the seller said, just scraps of metal, and the buyer says, yeah, because that's all I want to buy, scraps of metal, but if you paid for it and you're taking it, there's more of a burden, there's more responsibility on the seller, on the buyer to check it out and to make sure that what he's buying is actually what is agreed to that he's going to buy.
Is there also a concept that your money, since your money already went to buy a Avodah Zarah, it's already been
changed? No, I
mean,
it really is a Mekach Taos, meaning when all said and done, meaning I understand now that what Rava is proposing is a Gzerah Derabanan, but when all said and done, it's Mekach Taos, meaning he told you, I'm going to sell you scraps of metal. You say to him, I want to buy scraps of metal. The agreement between buyer and seller was on scraps of metal. And then it turns out that there was idolatry there, so meaning without the Gemara, you would have simply said, okay, everything goes back.
Right. I'm sure you can get more money.
Right. But what the Gemara now is introducing is this idea that, well, no, you should have been more careful. Yeah. And because you should have been more careful, so now it's you're going to the buyer's going to have to take the hit. It's interesting.
But if you buy it from a Jew,
how to what degree does this Zera extend? The Gemara doesn't fill out any details. Gemara just limits it to this one scenario. And Tosus acknowledges, we don't find this concept elsewhere in the world of Mekach Taos. That we turn to the buyer and says, you know, you should have been more careful.
Buyer beware.
Yeah. Even though we do have a general principle of buyer beware. In Halacha also. We have a principle, buyer beware. But not when the seller says, this is what I'm selling to you. We don't say then to the buyer, you know, you should have been more careful. No, because the whole sale is contingent on agreement of mind. Okay.
If he smelled it,
didn't have that. I mean, no. I mean, it's avodah zarah. Right? No benefit. Okay, so answers, those are answers one and two. Abaye and Rava's answer. Abaye's answer is difficult because Abaye's saying that it's a mekach taos, but it should be true in both cases. Okay, Rava's answer now is that there's a gzera de Rabbanan. Two more answers. Rav Ashi Amar, Midresh Meshicha, Eino Kone, Seifa Nami Meshicha, Eino Kone. I did the Tani Resha Mashach, Tana Seifa Nami Mashach. Okay, when it says Meshicha in the second case of the Braisa, don't take the word Meshicha, so literally everything is contingent on the money. Okay, difficult answer. When you read the Braisa, you don't really get that sense, but it's a way to streamline the two cases of the Braisa.
He doesn't address our issue of why you can't call it a mekach.
No, in other words, money, he deals with it very simply. Money.
Mashiach has nothing.
Because it's under the third law. Ravina amami desefa mashiach kone resha nami mashiach kone. Now Ravina says, no. Meshicha is the mechanism of kenyan. Vereisha hachi kamar im lo nasam v'lo mashach yachzir. So if you did not give and you were not moshech yachzir. My yachzir, yachzir bedvarim. So when it says yachzir, you know what yachzir means? It means you can renege on your word. Yachzir bedvarim. Kasar bedvarim yesh b'hem mishum mechusrei amana. Now in general we say like this. Now, we have a general principle in terms of a transaction, right? In other words, first of all, the basic transaction is affected by some real transaction, either money, Jew to non-Jew, or Meshicha, Jew to Jew, okay? But even before that, if you make an oral commitment, the Gemara says you really should keep your word, right? Huh? This is not an Edom issue. This is that you say something, you make an agreement, a verbal agreement, you really should keep your word. Now, yeah, in other words, some people still operate this way. And there's an idea of mechusrei amana, meaning that if you go back on your word, so that's really, you're mechusrei, you're missing amana, integrity, credibility. A word should be kept. And so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that in the Braisa, when the Braisa is saying, the first part of the Braisa, Machalo Nasan Maos Mashach Yachzir, not what you thought. Meaning, you and I thought it meant return the goods. No. You didn't give money. You didn't do Meshicha. So what are we talking about? There was no transaction. Wait, just one second. Wait, there was no transaction. So what does Yachzir mean? Yachsa means even though you verbally committed, it's okay. You can go back on your word. Now, Vahani, in other words, and now what Ravina has to deal with is, what about the fact that you made you said a word, you made a commitment? So the Gemara says, yeah, verbal commitment is me Yisrael li Yisrael. Ava Yisrael me over kochavim. De'inu lo kaima b'diburayhu lo. However, if it's from Yisrael to Yisrael, from Yisrael to Ove Kochavim, where they're not mekayim diburayhu, so then you can also walk away from your verbal commitment. Okay. Ties into this week's parsha, Yaakov and Lavan, right? Lavan is a little deceptive. Yaakov can also, you know, act a little bit. Yeah. 100%. In other words, I mentioned this yesterday. I mentioned this again today. Chil Hashem should also be such an overriding concept, especially with these types of discussions. So, allowance means, well, first of all, remember, put in the context. We're talking about a scenario where you were expecting one thing, and then what comes out is, oh, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't what it was there. So now you could walk away and you could say, look, I know I made a verbal agreement, but that wasn't exactly what I was planning on buying. I want the scraps of silver. And it turns out that you have trinkets over there, trinkets of idolatry. So there you could walk away. Okay. We start now today's daf. Today's daf is daf Yudalin, and we start with a Mishnah. Kol HaKadoshim Shekada mum kavua. Wait, before I start the Mishnah, introduction. Okay, we saw this Mishnah already. This Mishnah we were presented in Chulin. And don't worry, we'll see it again. It's going to come up in Temura. So we're going to get comfortable with this Mishnah. And the Mishnah really has very little to do with Bechoros, but there's one point that's added in this Mishnah regarding Bechora. So it's here. And so therefore, we're going to go through it. Okay, but it's such a basic distinction that we're all familiar with. You've heard me talk about this time and again. The difference between an animal that has Kedushas Aguf versus an animal that only has Kedushas Domin. Okay, Kedushas Aguf means that it has intrinsic value. This animal is going to be brought on the Mizbeach as a carbon. Okay? Right now, we're speaking in very generic terms, in very, very broad terms. Any animal that's designated to be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach has Kedushas Aguf. Kedushas Aguf means that Kedusha is intrinsic. It means that this animal is holy. Not the value of the animal, the animal. And you cannot extract that Kedusha from the animal. Let's say now you say to yourself, you know, I changed my mind. I don't want to bring this animal as a carbon. It is simply too late. The animal now is laced with Kedusha. And so therefore, that's it. End of discussion. The animal has to be brought as a carbon. What if it develops a blemish? So now you have an option to redeem it. But even when you redeem it, it still keeps some Kedusha. It still holds on to some of that Kedusha. This is what's called Psule Hamukdashen. Animal that had Kedusha Saguf, but now because it has a blemish, it simply cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, but you're going to redeem it, it's still going to have residual Kedusha. With its residual Kedusha, you can't work it, you can't shear it, you can't milk it. The only thing you can do is shecht it and eat it. That's it. Okay? And this is what we call Kedusha Saguf versus Kedusha's Damim. Kedusha's Damim is that any item in front of me, that I'm makdish, that I sanctify, pens, keys, right? They're only going to have Kedushas Damim, which means that they're only going to have value Kedusha, not Kedushas Aguf. And so therefore, the temple is only interested in these items for its value. Its Kedusha is only for its value, so they could now turn around and sell it, and now the item is back to zero, meaning it only had Kedushas Damim, it only had value Kedusha. So once it's redeemed, it's back to where it was originally. Let's say you have an animal that has a blemish in it already. And not just a temporary blemish, but a permanent physical blemish. And I sanctify that animal. The only thing that animal has is Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Aguf. Because since the animal was not eligible to be brought as a carbon when you sanctified it, so the animal is only Kedushas Damim. Good. When I redeem that animal, back to zero. Meaning the animal now is totally fine. There is no residual Kedusha. Good. Huh? Right. It only had Kedusha's Damim. With that stated now, we go through the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is basically going to discuss these two aspects of Kedusha. Kol Kedusha Shekadam Mum Kavua Lehekdei Sham. V'niftu. You have an animal that has a physical blemish. Now, physical blemish, remember, we're talking about a physical blemish that will disqualify it as a carbon. It could be a slit of the lip. It could be one of the ears are cut off. In no way, shape, or form does this render the animal trefa. It just simply means now because of a physical deformation, so it can't be brought onto the Mizbeach. Mizbeach requires tamimus. It requires a perfected animal. Physically perfect animal. Good. So if you have a carbon where the mum kavua, a permanent blemish, comes prior to your makdishit, meaning simply, it only has kedushas damim. Viniftu, and then you redeem it. So now we're going to give a number of examples, but the basic point is we're back to zero. The animal is just a regular animal. So chayavim bebechora. So its firstborn now is going to be chayav in the mitzvah bechora. Uve matanos, and if you shecht it, so you have to give the zor lechay keva to the kohen. V'yosan lechulin ligazus v'le aved. And once it is redeemed, you could shear it, you can work it. Uvladam v'chava mutar. Fetuses and milk of this animal is permitted. La'achar pijonam, after you redeem it. Va'ashoch the mechutz pater. And if you shecht it outside the base of Mikdash, you're going to be exempt. And that line of the Mishnah is talking about even before you redeem it. Right. Because it doesn't have Kedusha Saguf. The only liability for shechut echut, shechting a carbon outside, is when you shecht a carbon outside. This is not a carbon. It does have Kedusha, but only value Kedusha. Kedusha's Damim. The Enos in Temurah, and it does not affect Temurah. And of course it doesn't affect a mora. It's not a carbon. It can't affect it cannot be exchanged for another animal to make that other animal a carbon. The imeso yiftu, and even if it dies, you can redeem it. Chutz mina bechor u mina meiser. And it's for this one line of the Mishnah that we bring this whole Mishnah in over here. The exception to the rule is bechor and meiser, meaning you have, let's say, your firstborn animal that comes out of its mother's womb, and it comes out with a congenital mum, meaning as the animal comes out, it's missing an ear, or one eye is larger than the other eye. And and later on in the Masechta, we'll go over all the physical blemishes. It still has Kedushas HaGuf. It's intrinsically holy. Now, you can't offer it as a karban. It's a technical issue. But it has Kedushas HaGuf. And same thing is true with Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema, you count out the animals that are born over the course of the year. And one by one, they can't come out of the pen. And you can't line them up in any particular order, meaning randomness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you get to number 10, you count to 10, and you mark it, and that has Kedushas Meiser Behema. And we're going to treat that like a carbon, even if number 10 happens to be a blemished animal. And even if it's a mum kavua, it's still going to have Kedushas HaGuf. Okay, why? We'll talk about later. But these are the two exceptions. Otherwise, an animal that has a physical blemish prior to the sanctification only will have Kedushas Damim. Okay, next, the chol shekadam ekdeshim es mumam o mum over lagdeshim ulachem ikanola lahem mum kavua. But what if the animal was physically perfect, or it had a mum over, a passing blemish, but nothing that will, in other words, a cut, but the cut will heal. So in those cases, and you're makdish the animal, and then it develops a blemish, a physical blemish. Okay, now you're stuck, because now this animal had kedushas haguf. It's intrinsically holy. V'niftu, and after now it develops a blemish, you redeem it. Ptur min ha-bechor min ha-matanos. So number one, it's exempt from the halacha of bechorah. Remember why? We just discussed this a couple days ago. Huh? The right. In other words, right? Rashi says that bechor rechem mekachov ma'isaksiv lo yivakir b'tov l'ra. No. Not that Rashi. I'm sorry. The Gemara is going to discuss, right? Because some of it's going to be burnt. Okay. I'm sorry. Aviniftu b'tur min bechor min amatanos, and also you don't have to give zor l'chai v'kevet to the kohen. Eino yotzim lechulin ligazus v'le'avad. You cannot do giza. You can't do avoda. Meaning this is it. Classic examples of psulei mekdashin. Vlad v'chel banaser, you can't milk it. Any animals that come out of it, the fetuses are also going to be prohibited. What do you do with those fetuses? We'll discuss. La'achar pijonam, v'hashochtan b'chutz chayev. Now, what if you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash? You're going to be chayev. Now, when we say shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, not after redemption, meaning before redemption. Okay? V'osin tamura can affect tamura. V'imeso yikbru, and if the animal dies, so you can bury said animal. Okay. Good. Taima de niftu. Halo niftu ptur min abechora umin hamatanos. Okay. We go to the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah dealt with Kedushas Damim. Okay. It had a mum kavua prior to you sanctifying the animal. So therefore, the sanctification of the animal only results in Kedushas Damim. And the Mishnah says, if you redeem it, it's chayv min bechorah. So the Gemara now is going to make a very simple diuk. Taima de niftu. That's because you redeemed it. Halo niftu, p'tur min bechorah min matanos. It's going to be exempt from bechorah matanos. Why? Because of kedushas damim matchem min bechorah min matanos. Because our Mishnah is of the opinion that kedushas damim is going to push off bechorah and matanos. Okay. We'll talk more about this later on as well. The yotzin lechulin. Okay, and it goes off to chulin. Time of the nifta, alo nifta, asir begizav avoda. Okay, Gemara makes an interesting comment. While the animal has a blemish on it, while the animal has kedushas damim, so you can't do gizav avoda. After you redeem the animal, again, we're talking about the first case of the Mishnah. We're talking about an animal that only has Kedushas Damim. After you redeem it, it goes back down to zero. Okay. Which now, again, a simple implication of the Mishnah means is that before you redeemed it, while this animal has Kedushas Damim, you can't shear it and you can't work it. Now, it's funny, because at this point in time in the Gemara, if we were just to pause and just to think for just a moment, you can't shear it and you can't work it. Of course you can't. Meaning, right now, whose property does this belong to? Property of the temple, right? Property of the temple. We're going to spend an entire Masechta discussing the topic of Me'ila. Anything that belongs to the temple, you cannot use for personal gain. So now, if you think about it, you say to yourself, what the Mishnah is saying is, think about it, that once you redeem your animal that only has Kedushas Damim, then you can shear and work it. And the Gemara is saying, oh, but before you redeem it, you can't shear and you can't work it. Now, fine, that would all be good, but now you expect the next words of the Gemara to be something like, because you're violating Me'ilah. What does the Gemara now say? Misayele le Rabbi Elazar, da amar kache bedek habayis, asurin begiza v'avoda. If you have kache bedek habayis, you cannot shear it, and you cannot work it. Now, for some reason, no utterance whatsoever of the word Me'ilah. Shouldn't Me'ilah be the operative issue over here? And then watch the next part of the Gemara go to work. Amre, they say in the yeshiva, lo. Nah, you don't have to make such a diuk. Kedushas damam mizbech, u demechlafe bekedushas aguf lemizbech, gazru bu rabbanan avakasha berekabayis lo. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about where it's true it has kedushas damim, but it's dedicated, meaning the proceeds of that animal, the value of that animal is dedicated where we're going to take that money and buy another animal and use that animal for a carbon. Maybe the Mishnah is discussing that type of animal. But had it been a regular Kedushas Damim scenario, maybe you could work it and maybe you could shear it. Which then really makes you wonder, what? You have an animal that belongs to the temple and you can work it and you can shear it? It really is hard to understand. Rashi doesn't really deal with this. There is a comment, if you look on the side of the Gemara, by the Shita Mekubetzis, he's bothered. V'im tamar pshita kevin dekdushin hein. Meaning, it's kadosh. Of course you can't shear it. Of course you can't work it. V'yesh lomar shafilu kana ha-giza v'avoda min ha-hekdesh. So, one suggestion he makes is, even if you buy it. Meaning, that if you have an animal that is dedicated, not just dedicated, has kedushas damim, you can't shear it, even if you want to buy the shearings. You got to think about that. You got to wonder why that should be. Meaning, why can't you shear the animal? Perhaps, my suggestion, perhaps it's because it diminishes the actual value of the animal itself. Meaning, with the shearings, the animal has a certain value. Once you shear it, even if you pay for the shearing, but it diminishes the value of the animal itself, perhaps that's what's at play over here. Va'ochamati, demari, the leis be shavapruta ve'in iser hana behektish pachos mi shavapruta. Maybe also the amount you're diminishing the value is less than a shavapruta. Me'ila, the violation of me'ila, has to be a minimum of a shavapruta, and it could be that we're discussing where you diminished its value less than a shavapruta. Okay, possibly. Vlad v'chavan mutter. Hey, chidam, ilay medi. Okay. So now we're going to discuss fetuses of a animal. Let's remember, we're still in the first case of the Mishnah. The Kedusha is only Kedusha's Damim. Okay. And the Mishnah's point is that if you redeem it, and then it gives birth, the baby is nothing. Baby has no Kedusha. To which the Gemara is now going to say to itself, of course. What's the... And if it's a firstborn, it's going to have Kedushas Bechor. Right. But in other words, the point is that if it only has Kedushas Damim, and you redeem it, you're back to zero. Zero. Good. So the Gemara says, V'lanam v'chal v'mot, heichadam ilam ediyav v'yisar lachar pijonam pshita. Chulan inhu. So if the Mishnah is telling us that the animal got both impregnated and had the baby after you redeemed it, and the point the Mishnah is making is that animal is zero, has no Kedusha, but of course. Meaning, because you redeem the animal. And remember, the animal in question is an animal that only had Kedushas Damim, because it had a physical blemish prior to your sanctifying the animal. Okay, good. So, Ela di'avar lifnei pijonam, V'isyaled la'achar pejonam. So let's give a chiddush, let's inject a chiddush into the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where it was impregnated while it was kadosh, right? I think I'm going to fault the gizbar a little bit. Well, yeah, right. I don't know. Do you have to prevent it from mating with another animal? He was makdashit. The owner was makdashit. Okay. Okay, fine. No, but the Gemara is okay. Well, the Gemara sounds like he got pregnant prior to the pigeon, meaning while it was kedusha. Okay. All right, I'm not sure, but v'yisyale la'achar pijonam. So the Gemara says, ha'lifnei pijonam asiri. So let's now suggest, okay, so the Gemara is suggesting that's the pshat in the Mishnah. It got pregnant while it had Kedusha, but it gave birth after the Padiya, after it was redeemed. And the point is that because the baby was born after it was redeemed, so therefore the baby is zero. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, okay, so ha'lifnei pijonam asiri, Niftin Tamimin, O Ain Niftin Tamimin. Now the Gemara has a really interesting question. Okay. You have now an animal. Remember, mom only has Kedusha's Domin. And mom becomes pregnant, right? Because she was blemished. She had a physical blemish. And now mom became pregnant and mom had a baby while she had Kedusha's Domin. Okay, fine. And then mom was redeemed. So mom is back to zero. That we all understand. This baby now was born while mom had Kedusha's Damim. That means this baby has Kedusha. But what degree of Kedusha? Yeah. Now think about this question. This is interesting. Because the baby didn't come out blemished. Right. So baby came out perfect. So now what kind of Kedusha does the baby have? Hard to imagine that the Kedusha of the baby is going to be any greater than the Kedusha of the mother. The baby's a derivative. Wait. Baby's a derivative. If mom only has Kedusha's Damim, baby at best can have Kedusha's Damim. But then you walk into the most awkward scenario. I'm redeeming an animal that's physically perfect. How do you do that? So Niftin Tamimim, O Ein Niftin Tamimim, Tashma. So Gemara wants to know exactly this. Are we entitled to be poda the baby? Even though it's tamim, even though it's not blemished, or do we have to wait? Do we have to wait until the baby develops a blemish? Tashma, hamatfiz bali mamim kvun legabit mizbech v'yaldo yimachru ve'ein tzrichin mum shein kedusha chal aleim sholayet tafel chamar min ha'ikar. So the Gemara brings in a brisa, and the brisa answers the question quite clearly. And the brisa says, baby doesn't have any more kedusha than mom does. If mom only has Kedusha's Damim, so the baby that comes out of this mother is only going to have Kedusha's Damim. Good. And so therefore, you can acquire the baby, you can sell the baby, or let me say it better, you can redeem the baby without having to wait for a mom. Time is already tough. Huh? No. Baby now is a new entity. It's a totally separate entity.
The redemption was done after.
Right. After the mother gave birth, the redemption was done. Redemption is only going to work on mom. You're right, by the way. If mom were still pregnant, so then the baby would be redeemed as well. Perhaps. Time is shalom yeitaf chomam and ikar. Aval hikdash zach ledamav. Aval hikdash zach ledamav. Kadosh kedusha segov. But the Gemara contrasts. You have to be aware of the following. If I have an animal that isn't blemished, and I consecrate the animal. And I consecrate the animal, it immediately upgrades to Kedusha Seguf, even if that wasn't my intent. Because essentially the idea is that once you invest an animal with Kedusha, even if your mindset is that I only want it to have value Kedusha, if it's eligible, it's going to upgrade. It's going to go all the way to Kedusha Seguf, even if that wasn't clearly your intent. All your animals, all the items in front of me, and an animal that has a mum.
But the thing is that any animal that's healthy is going to get a Kedusha Seguf instantly.
Correct. And the Gemara wants to make that point very clear. Meaning, and the only discussion we can ever have about an animal being redeemed while it's perfect is only this animal that was born, right? Because its kedusha is a derivative of its mother, and the mother's only kedusha is dama. Okay.
Does it go into the pen to be counted again?
Yeah. In other words, yeah. Correct. Absolutely correct. Hashoche bechutz pater. Okay. One last discussion for today, and that's the following. Rabbi Lazar Masni Chayev. Okay. Rabbi Lazar has a different girsa of the Mishnah, and his girsa of the Mishnah is Chayev. Now that's a funny girsa in the Mishnah, meaning the girsa that we have makes perfect sense, because our Mishnah is talking about an animal that only has kedushas damim. Okay. And the point of our Mishnah is that if you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, even before I redeemed it, you're not going to be chayv on shechut echutz. It's not a carbon. It only has value kedusha. It doesn't have kedusha seguf. It's okay, fine. So you're not going to be chayv. That part we understand. Rabbi Lazar, when he learns the Mishnah, so what he puts into the Mishnah is that if you shecht it outside, you're going to be chayv. How does he do that? How does he learn the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar Masni Chayv Umuki La Bebamas Yachid. And the case of our Mishnah is an extraordinarily limited scenario where, or once upon a time, we can have a bama, a little mizbech, in our backyard. So instead of a barbecue, it's better than a barbecue. You have a carbon being brought in your own, very own backyard. Now, Rashi says everyone can build a bama la'atzmo, right? He gives examples, Manoach, Gidon, Shmuel. Now, so what's the case? So what's going on in our Mishnah? So Damar Rabbi Lazar Minan Lezavech Behemes Balaz Mum Bibamis Yachid B'Shas Heter Habamo Shuhu Below Sase. Now, when he learns the word Chayev in the Mishnah, not what you normally expect Chayev to mean. You normally think Chayev means Issur Kares. Yeah, because Shchut Echutz usually has involved in Issur Kares, but that's not how he understands the Mishnah. Chiyuv over here means it's a lav. You're going to get malchus. Well, what did you do wrong? I'll tell you what you did wrong. You have a bum in your backyard. Now, historically, this only was a short number of years of Jewish history. The first 14 years when we entered into Israel, we were allowed a bamas yachid. And then the time between Shiloh and the first Beis HaMikdash, we were allowed a bamas yachid, private bamas. So a short number of years, 57, I believe, is the correct number of years between Shiloh and the first Beis HaMikdash. Shiloh lasted for a long time, 369 years was Shiloh. And then destruction of Shiloh. Okay. If you now, in your backyard, offer a carbon during those time periods, and that animal that you offered had a blemish, you violated a law in the Torah. Okay? Shu b'lo sase, shenemar. And how do I know this? Rabbi Lazar says, lo sizbach l'Hashem l'kecha shor v'seh. You're not allowed to offer a carbon Shor v'seh that is blemished. Now, imei no inyan labama gadol adichsev ivers or shavur. Now, we already know that there's a prohibition to offer a blemished animal on a mizbeach, meaning the mizbeach. The Torah goes on to go right ivers or shavur, the physical blemishes that are prohibited. Taneo inyan labama z'yachin. So, therefore, the additional pasuk over here is talking about your backyard bama. Imei no inyan l'kadosh and taneo linya bechor. The Gemara says, what about a bechor? Offering a bechor with a blemish, akadachamin, a whole vikarish kashu ba'mum, likarv nami kashu ba'mum. Look, as we already established, even if the bechor comes out with a congenital blemish, it still has kedusha. So you know what? Maybe the Torah is telling you, offer it. So kamash malan, delo, and the Torah has to go out of its way to teach us. No, you can't. So amri bechor behajiksibbe. The Gemara says, what do you mean? By a bechor, I already know that a physically blemished bechor cannot be offered on the mizbech. Pisteach oyiver lo sizbechenu. Good. The ema imenu inyan lekashim taner inyan lemaisa. The Gemara says, what about maisa behema? Sakadach amina hol vekash bemumo dechsiv lo yivaker bein tov l'ra uvein ra nikrav nami bemume. Look, good havamina. As we already discussed earlier this morning, your tenth animal will have kedusha even if it's blemished. I might have thought, offer it. Kamash malan delo. So the Torah has to go out of its way to teach us that you're not allowed to. Amri ma'aser nami gamar havara mi bechor. Yeah, but there's a gzera shava of havara ha'avara that links bechor to ma'aser. Whatever is true by bechor is true by ma'aser. Just like by bechor, you cannot offer a blemished bechor, so too by ma'aser, you cannot offer a blemished ma'aser. animal. Ema taneo enyel tamuras kadashim. What about tamura? The sakadach amino hol kedusha kashi balas mum dechsev lo yichlefen velo yamiraso. Kreva nami kishuhu balas mum. Look, tamura is affected even if the animal's blemished. So maybe offer it. Kamash malan delo. Amakra vehayahu usmuraso yiye kodesh. Mekish tamuraso lo. A hekesh. Mahu balmum at lo. Af tamuraso balmum lo. Good. You can't do that as well, because just like the original animal cannot be offered blemish, neither can the tamura. Good. What's left? Rabbi Elazar says there's nothing left. So therefore, the pasuk that says you cannot offer a blemished animal must be talking about in your backyard when the bamas yachid was permissible. Maskev la Rav Zera, ema taneo inyan levlados kachim. How about this? How about fetuses of a carbon? Desak dach amina, hol kdusha kishem bale momem, agav imam kishem bale momem, nami carve, kamash malan delo. What about your fetuses? Amarava kvar paska tana debe Rav Yishmael. No, we already have a source for that as well. Tana debe Rav Yishmael, rak kadashecha asher yelecha, unadarecha rak kadashecha elo tmuras asher yelecha elo avlados, unadarecha hekishan akasav leneder. Everything is connected to neder, ma neder balmum lo, afhani nami balmum lo. Vlad cannot be offered as a blemished animal, so Rabbi Elazar says it's all covered. Therefore, there's only one thing left, which is in my backyard. When backyard bamas were permissible, they have to be a physically perfect animal. They cannot be a blemished animal. How does he know that? He knows that from the pasuk of Lo Sizbach LaShem Lekech Ashur V'Seh. And therefore, when he learns our Mishnah, these animals that have a physical blemish, and he says if you shech them outside, you're going to be chayev. He understands the Mishnah to mean, first of all, his gear says chayev, not pater. And he understands the Mishnah to mean where I offered it in my backyard bama while they had a physical blemish. And the chiyuv is makos.